A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These I must also lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Oh, the children can come up for a children's homily. Yeah, come on up. I brought one of my favorite toys with me this morning. This is a doggy, and his name is Fido, and he's very, very good. He's very, very obedient. Like, watch this. Fido, walk. Oh, no. Fido, walk. Oh, there we go. Now he's doing it right. Fido, stop. Fido, bark. Oh, look at him. Isn't he good? He does everything I ask him to. You know why? He's a robot. Pardon? Oh, my microphone on. That's right, because adults have to hear this too. He's a robo dog. And so because he's a robo dog, he has to do whatever I tell him to. He has no choice. See, walk, bark. It works like that. Now, we have a real dog at home. His name is Piccolo, which means little, all right? Like a little flute, little dog. We call him Piccolo. And Piccolo does not do what we tell him to do. Never. He just does whatever he wants. He runs, he chews my slippers, he runs around with my gloves, he's not very obedient. But Piccolo can do something that the robo dog cannot do. Guess what that is? He can love us. He can love me, and I can love the dog, right? Does anybody have dogs at home? Do you love your dogs? And do they love you back? Oh, yeah, see? Because they're real and they're alive. Robo dogs can't love. Sometimes we wish that God would say things to us, speak to us, so that we had no choice but to obey. We wouldn't have a choice to disobey God. But God gave us a choice so that we can follow him or not follow him because he wanted us to be able to love. And love requires choice. In today's gospel, Jesus says he's a shepherd. So he has sheep instead of puppy dogs, all right? And he says the sheep listen to his voice and they obey him because they love him. And that's why we should obey Jesus, is because we love him and not because we have to. See, so that way we can live a life of love and not just being little robots. Okay? Hey, thanks for coming up. You guys can go back to your seats now. So today's gospel teaches us many things, and we can read it on a lot of different levels. But one of the things that today's gospel teaches us is discernment. And that's really what I want to focus on this morning. It teaches us discernment. Oh, what's the matter? Hi. You be quiet now? Okay. All right, she'll need therapy. Today's gospel teaches us discernment. And the first thing it teaches us to discern is our shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. But he says, not all shepherds are good. Some shepherds are hirelings. They're just in it for the money. And in our lives, we need to discern our shepherds. Who are we allowing to lead us? Are they leading us into truth and freedom? Or are they leading us into bondage? Are they leading us into anxiety and distress? Who are we allowing to be our shepherds? And of course, there are religious shepherds, right? Our pastor, the word pastor is literally Latin for shepherd. So our pastor is certainly a shepherd. And of course, he's under shepherds as well, right? He's under a bishop and under a pope, and they are also our shepherds. But not all shepherds are religious shepherds. There is our boss. He's going to lead us. There are the news outlets that we choose to listen to. There are political leaders that we may endorse or not endorse, but whether or not we endorse them, they're still our shepherds, right? They still exert some control over our lives. And to some extent, and actually to a great extent, it is up to us to know which shepherds we should follow because they're good shepherds and which we should not. And how do you tell a good shepherd from a hireling? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd is always caring for the sheep. The good shepherd is always trying to strengthen and encourage the sheep. But a hireling, they're in it for the money. And all they want is people to follow them. And they will use fear or intimidation or lies or deception to get people to follow them. Don't follow the hirelings. Only follow those who follow the example of the good shepherd, the one who is laying down his life for his sheep. And of course, Jesus lays down his life for us on the cross. But the truth is, on his entire journey on the cross, he is constantly laying down his life for his disciples and for those who follow him and for anybody who came to seek him, healing the sick and giving sight to the blind and raising the dead. And, you know, this takes energy. Jesus poured himself out again and again to minister to all who came to him. That's the good shepherd, the one that we follow. So the first area of discernment is discernment of our shepherd and the choice of who our shepherds should be. And the second area of discernment is the discernment of ourselves. Are we being good sheep? You know, Jesus says that the good sheep knows his voice, listens to him, follows him. And we have that choice to follow or not to follow. We have that choice to listen or not to listen. We have that choice to listen to the shepherd or to listen to the many voices there are in the world. And one of the ways to discern those voices, as I mentioned, is peace. Does that voice lead us into peace? Or does that voice lead us into anxiety? Are we listening to the shepherd? Now, I want to pause for a moment here because I think a lot of us are confused what that means. You see, being able to hear the voice of Christ, the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, should be normative for Christians. Those of us who have been baptized into Christ, we are the body of Christ. We should, throughout the day, know how to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice of the Holy Spirit within us. That should be normative in the Christian life. But a lot of people are confused. They say, I've never heard God speak to me. I've never heard Jesus say anything to me. And I think that perhaps, well, there are a lot of reasons for that. Could be that we've gone so far away from Jesus we can't hear him anymore. I mean, that's a possibility. Or it could be that we're listening to the world so much. We spend so much of our time watching the news or reading Bloomberg or CNBC or listening to investment gurus or you know, we spend so much of our time in the world or just in entertainment that we aren't learning how to listen to our spirits. Listen to what God is speaking to us in our spirits. And it could be that we're confused. We think that if God was going to speak to us, he'd have to sound something like Charlton Heston, you know. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, you know. We think it should be like that. And it's typically not the case. I mean, I know Christian leaders who say, throughout the day, all you need to do is stop, ask God, what should I do, and he'll tell you. And I've had that experience. I imagine most of you have as well. But that's not normative, all right? Usually, when we talk about hearing God speak in our lives, it's something much more interior. It's deep within our spirits. And sometimes it's an inspiration. Or it could be a gentle nudge. Sometimes it's just a sense, not an emotion. I want to make this clear. Feelings will always deceive us. We need to learn to discern the difference between what we're feeling and what we're thinking in our minds and what we are knowing in our spirits. And sometimes it's just a gentle nudge, or sometimes it's a check. We may be thinking about a direction and we just somehow have a sense that's not the right direction to go. And it's easy for us to say, well, I want to go there anyway, right? Because that's what we want to do. But we need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing, stirring inside of us. Now, I know people who just will say, well, just ask God and he'll tell you. The problem with that is that's a little bit like putting God to the test, right? You got to talk to me, God, and you got to talk to me now, and you got to talk to me so I can understand it. And if you do that, you're much more likely to be led by your emotions than by the Spirit of God. Our emotions can be very deceptive. We just have this sense that, we, you know, surely God wants me to do what I want to do. You know, well, if you feel that way, you should read the book of Jonah. Or read the Gospels, for that matter. Our bodies and, you know, our flesh, our emotions, they are going to tend to lead us astray. But the Spirit of God speaks to us in the depths of our spirit and will always lead us to Christ, always lead us to peace, always lead us to freedom. So learn to listen in the Spirit. And that takes some time, and it takes a lot of prayer. It takes time getting to know God in the stillness of your private prayer. And the third level of discernment that Jesus speaks to us about in this particular passage is the discernment of the flock. Jesus says, I have a flock that you don't see. I have other sheep that are not in this flock. They're in another flock, but we're all going to become one flock. That had to be very confusing for the disciples. And so they had to discern the flock. Now, pay attention. Discernment is not judgment. In fact, it's pretty much the exact opposite. Because the disciples had to discern that the most wicked, evil people on the earth, Gentiles like us, were in fact a part of the flock of God. God loved all people, even those wicked, evil Gentiles. This was a hard thing for the church to grasp and understand. Discernment was not judgment. Because judgment is very exclusive. We're the flock and you're not. Discernment is inclusive. How is God working in their lives? Is God calling them to be a part of this flock? But what about us? Do sometimes we feel like we're the flock and nobody else is? We're right and all the others are wrong? But what about our Protestant brothers and sisters? What about those who are so injured by the church, they just can't find their way back without a great deal of healing? What about those who have tried the church but discovered that the church was, but whatever church they might have been to, was so clouded by political activism or by personal opinions and agendas that they did not find Christ there? Our job as the sheep is to be good followers of Jesus. And if Jesus is trying to draw them into his flock, then our job is to help them along, to help them find their way into the flock of God so there can be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus was the good shepherd because he lays down his life for the sheep. And we should live our lives in such a way that we are able to lay down our lives for one another. Listen for the shepherd. Listen for his voice. In the quiet stillness deep within our spirits, he is speaking to us. He is calling us to live lives that walk closer with him and that live lives that serve one another. As Jesus is the good shepherd and lays down his life for us, let us be willing to lay down our lives for one another. Oh, I was going to sing a song. I'm glad I put my guitar here so it reminds me. Okay. This is an old gospel song that I learned many, many, many years ago. And I hope I'll sing it and then I'll ask you to sing it with me. Is that working? Y'all can hear the guitar, Faye? Okay. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. So sing that with me. It's very simple. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. to reach out and touch him, to reach out and touch him, and say that I love him, and say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen, and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Amen. Let's go to God now in prayer.